Tom Atkinson is in the studio with me tonight. He's certainly one of our local masters of the short story, and his talent and work have received much and well-deserved attention this summer, far beyond the bounds of Cincinnati. He's going to read from two of his stories tonight, Dancing Turtle and Me and Mr. Tinkles. And we're going to talk about the Fish Anthology, New Stories from the Midwest 2015, and the Bath Short Story Award Anthology 2016. Tom, always a pleasure to be with you.
Hi, it's great to be back.
Let's start right off hearing from one of your stories. This is an excerpt from Me and Mr. Tinkles.
I wandered around the front of the house for the newspaper, and Mr. Tinkles waited for me by Jimmy's old F-150. That's where we spend most of our day, in the pickup. We never go anywhere, we just sit in the truck. I shook the dew from the newspaper and slid it out of the clear wrapper. I tossed it in the bed, already filled with other wrappers, and black trash bags packed with old newspapers. I've saved every newspaper for the last 5 years, and I can't really say why. I bind up a month's worth at a time and then wrap them tight in thick black bags, the really heavy ones. This year's are all still in the bed of the truck, and the rest are in the cellar, laid along the walls like four coffins in a funeral home. I opened the door and let Mr. Tinkles in. Then I started the truck so we could try and get warm. I got him his little bowl of kit and caboodle from the bag on the passenger side, then rolled the top back down tight. It's one of Jimmy's cereal bowls from when he was a baby, and Josie'd kill me if she knew I'd given it to Mr. Tinkles. But she never will, 'cause she's too fat to leave the house and wouldn't come outside even if she could. But the way I figure it, it's only right since Mr. Tinkles was Jimmy's cat. Brought him home one day when he couldn't have been more than 10. I don't even remember his real name because Jimmy called him something different every day, just something silly or funny he'd made up. But Mr. Tinkles always knew who he meant. After Jimmy went off to basic, Josie started calling him Sassafras because she liked the sound of it and he's kind of reddy orange like that. And I started calling him Mr. Tinkles. Just to tease her at first, but then it seemed right. When he finished eating, he crawled up in my lap like he always does and started kneading my sparse belly with his front paws, suckling at a little nub of t-shirt. I believe he was weaned too young when he was a kitten, and that's why I have to walk around all day looking like I've been shot with teardrops. That's how we spend our mornings reading the paper in the truck. He meowed, which means he has to go, so I turned off the engine and rolled back the rubber floor mat on the passenger side. He pees right through the big rust hole in the floorboard, and he's been doing it so long now he's corroded away half the exhaust pipe under there, which is why I have to turn off the engine when that mat's rolled back. If it's a nice day and the sun gets warm, we crank down the windows, and if it's really nice day, I open the door and just stand there leaning, letting the truck hold me up. Josie's probably up by now, eating everything she's not supposed to, watching the Home Shopping Channel and knitting away. It'd be easy to find out. I could just walk around the front of the house and look at the windows. First thing every morning when she gets up, she hangs an American flag in one window and her Gold Star Mother in the other. And the rule is she can hang that crap up as long as I'm not in the house, because I'll tear the damn things down like I did every day those first 6 months. And the yellow ribbons they kept putting up on our trees and mailbox and the signposts along the road. After I tore them all down the first two times, they didn't come back.
Thank you. I'm always struck by the combination of reality and empathy in your stories, and obviously, so were the folks at Fish Anthology, because this was published thousands of miles away by Cork University Press in Ireland. And that's only the beginning of the good news, because Grimace in the Burnt Black Hills, which we've talked about before on Around Cincinnati, has been chosen for publication in New Stories from the Midwest 2015. And I just want to quote what their mission is: to support and spotlight the flourishing crop of Midwestern writers who consistently produce work that is innovative, engaging, finely crafted and strong in voice certainly applies to your work, Tom. So, yet again, we're going to hear from another story of yours, which has been selected from hundreds of entries, and these are from around the world, this time in the British Bath Short Story Award Anthology for 2016, and it's titled Dancing Turtle. So do you want to tell us anything about this before you read?
It's a little bit odd in that it's from the point of view, the narrative voice is a 14, 15-year-old girl with cerebral palsy, and it's all an internal monologue. She goes to an Appalachian festival with her mother, and she sees an American Indian boy singing at a stomp dance, and it's sort of her first crush, I guess you might say. Dancing Turtle. Mom took me to the Appalachian festival today, which was almost to Cincinnati, along the river. Dad stayed home to move the bars up in the bathroom. We dropped down and took Route 32, the James A. Rhodes Appalachian Highway, for the better part of 2 hours. And when we passed the sign for Burke Cabin Road, Mom said, like she always does, "There's a story there." She pointed out stands of corn and fall-down barns, and every so often she'd turn and say, "Molly, need to stop?" And I said, "No." Or at least the sound I make that we all know means no. Like a wheel bearing going bad, Dad says, if a wheel bearing going bad started with an N. Holding my bladder has become something of a point of pride for me these past 3 years, since, due to some difficulties during my birth, potty training ended and menstruation began in the very same month. We parked up front in a blue sign space, and then we argued back and forth about my stupid rollator. It's a walker with wheels and a little seat with a wire basket underneath and bicycle brakes that I can't use very well anyway. I'd rather just walk my walk. An Indian doctor at Children's, an Indian, not an American Indian, he told my dad it might help, and that's all it took. 12 hours of price shopping on the internet later, I was the not-so-proud owner of a shiny blue Medline rollator with 8-inch wheels to give me confidence on all terrains. At least it wasn't the pink breast cancer awareness model. I think he was expecting more. I finally got out, geezers and fat ladies. She leaned on my door and smiled. She said, "Are you sure? I told you there's going to be a lot of walking." Then she shrugged her shoulders and leaned in to help me out. She slipped her arms around me, her face warm in my neck, waiting for the touch of my twisted hands against her back. It's a dance we've done a million times, and the only graceful moment of my day. And sometimes, in that brief stillness before she says, "Ready?" I pretend she's a boy.
Thank you. I am so happy that your work is being recognized around the world. And I thank you so much for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you, Barbara.
I've been talking with Tom Atkinson about three of his short stories, one to be published in the Fish Anthology 2016, one in New Stories from the Midwest 2015, and yet another in the Bath Short Story Award Anthology 2016, both of the latter two scheduled for release this fall. You will find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.